In my little humble opinion, Sydney band Cog have just released one of the best heavy music albums in this country ever. Now, I'm sure this lad is just as excited by the album as I am, so let's welcome him to Triple J, drummer Lucius Borich from the band Cog. Welcome to Triple J, Lucius.
How you going? Good to hear your voice.
Good to have you on the program. I've already done salivating over the album, and it's certainly your turn. Are you happy with the outcome?
Yeah, I'm extremely happy for the position we're in, and at this point in time, I think we've achieved a real goal for ourselves. So it's, you know, especially where we did it, and you know, going overseas and recording it, so definitely a, you know, a dream come true. You'd always dream about, you know, doing stuff like that. So it's it's one of those things that you'll always remember, that's for sure. And I think we've done the best job we can. So we're very happy, very proud of it.
Now, there must be a huge weight removed from the band's shoulders, considering things were sort of kind of in limbo with the album about a year ago. So I guess, sort of, tell us how it did come about using Sylvia Massey and recording in the US.
Yeah, it was turbulent times for the band, that's for sure. It was up and down, you know, up, down, off again, on again. It was, we actually hooked up with Sylvia about 6 months before we actually got a deal and the money to actually go over and do it. And I sent Sylvia, I sent her management company a copy of the demos that we did. And he loved them, and he thought he'd send them to Sylvia, email me back and said that. And then I got an email back from Sylvia saying, I really love the stuff, and I want you to come to my studio. I got my own studio in Weed, California. It's an old theater. You'll love it. It's great. It's not typical studio. Come and record. I want to do this album. So we kind of left sitting there with this great producer wanting to do the album, but no money, no funds to actually make it happen. So it was a matter of, you know, trying things out. We actually went to a few, you know, private investors and, you know, see if they wanted to invest in the band. We sent stuff to the majors as a bit of a joke to see if they'd pick up on it. And we got the usual response.
And what was that? Sorry, we'll went just, up after yeah, this sort of music or whatever.
Yeah, basically something along those lines. And then we there was this there's a chap that's been kind of following the band for a while, and he worked in record companies for a while, and I think he got jack of that and knew there was a big shift in the industry. He decided to make up his own label, and he was following us for a while, so he tracked us down. And we just kind of met at a good junction point, and the timing was right, and he gave us enough money to do what we had to do. And the label's Different Music, so we're his first signing. So it all ended up, ended up happening. But yeah, it was definitely kind of off again, on again kind of stuff. But we pushed on, you know. We really tried to push on and make it happen, because, I mean, to drop a chance to record overseas with one of the biggest producers in the world is like, you know, obviously something you don't want to let go. So we stuck to our guns and pretty much, you know, put the thought out there, bounced it off the universe, the stars aligned, and we've got an album, so it's all good.
But now, talk about, you were there for about 7 weeks or so recording the album?
Yep, 2 months all up.
How did it go?
Recording right to the very end too, like we're literally leaving the next day, like, you know, we'll get like 5 hours worth of partying after doing the whole album for 2 months, and then we're, you know, on the road going home. So it was very much every day recording and going for it.
Aside from Sylvia's amazing, recording ear and ability, do you think it really made a difference being in another country, in a different studio, no distraction, away from home?
Yeah, very much. So there's no things that you can recognise or familiarities or whatever where you've come from. It's definitely a different ball game. And actually where we were was not even in any city. It's in a tiny little town called Weed, and it's 4 hours north of San Francisco, and it's we describe it as like a Twin Peaks meets Byron Bay kind of scenario, a little logging town, and some, you know, truck stops here and there, and you know, really minimal kind of, you know, set up, and a lot of a lot of people on welfare, and it's not, you know, not the nicest richest kind of town, you know. So but it has this history, and the actual theater is an old Art Deco 1930s theatre that's been converted into a studio. So it had a really great characteristic about it, and I think really helped the band being a different headspace. And, you know, there was no girlfriends or friends or family or pets or anything yet to attend to. You know, it was just us in the studio every day. So we did focus really hard, and there was times where we thought we actually weren't going to achieve the goal of getting all the songs done. If people listen to the album, they'll probably get an idea of why, because, you know, there's so much in it and so much to do. So, but yeah, we got it right. So,
and once you got the album back and when it was all mastered and all, you know, basically finished, did you put on your best set of headphones and just kick back and think, wow, this is, you know, our music?
Yeah, it wasn't till a little while after that I kind of gave it a rest, didn't listen to it for a while, and, you know, started to enjoy it, because you tend, obviously, as a, you know, as a person in the band, you obviously try to pick all the faults and try to, you know, make it better instead of just actually sitting there trying to enjoy it. So it took a while for me to kind of, you know,
remove yourself from it.
Yeah, remove myself from the whole process of what we'd just gone through and just become a listener and kick back and really enjoy it. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely, in, you know, I'm definitely in that headspace now. It's great, like, you know, here being played on Triple J, which has been fantastic. You know, it pops every now and then, and then it sticks out and I go, oh, yeah, it sounds great. So, you know, I'm happy with that.
Now let's talk a little bit about, I guess, the influence in Cog now. To my ears, you're truly a unique band, and I guess we'll put the sort of progressive tag on your sound, but something that I'm sure you've heard probably quite a number of times, that the Tool sort of, say, a lazy reference certainly crops up from our listeners and other people commenting on, I guess, trying to pin down the sound of Cog. Does this frustrate you when, I guess, you guys are really trying to create your own identity?
I've had some, you know, long thoughts about that. I think people who really know Tool's music and really enjoy Tool's music would definitely know the difference between the two bands.
Yep.
I reckon they could really distinguish the two bands are actually really different. I think where we're the same is that we're progressive in trying to write arrangements that aren't typical arrangements. You know, we ebb and flow from, you know, hard sections to more melodic kind of stripped back atmospheric sections. I can see the us being similar in that work, and also, you know, we experiment with all different types of time signatures as well at times, but especially with this new album, I think the listeners will definitely be able to even more so put, you know, Cog over there and Tool over there. I mean to have that reference is, you know, really awesome.
Yeah,
to say that you know you sound,
you
like
still
Tool,
want to carve your own name.
Yeah,
definitely.
But you always want to do that, striving to do that. It doesn't matter whether you're definitely trying to tread your own, you know, not trying to tread on anyone's toes. It's very hard as an artist to try and write something that's you know, you haven't quite heard before. I mean, you're always going to hear influences, but to tread your own path and not tread on anyone's toes is a real challenge.
Definitely.
So that's what we do try and do.
Well, speaking of challenges and, I guess, striving, I've certainly followed your career over a number of years, even, I guess, back to the mid-90s with your previous band, Hanging Tree. Now, I guess, what has kept you inspired to play music, especially in this country where I think, personally, heavy music isn't really recognised like it should be?
I guess that's one of those things is the population. You know, I think, you know, our population's quite small. And heavy music, if even overseas, as big as it is, still small in the grand scheme of the population. So, but I mean, you know, we do it because we love to do it. You know, it's not, you know, music doesn't owe you anything. It's because you love doing it. So, you know, if you're playing in a band and you're playing, you know, death metal, heavy metal, progressive rock, whatever, and you do it because it comes from the heart and you love doing it. So that's what's definitely kept me there, because I haven't made a bloody cent out of it. So,
yet,
you know, throughout the years, it's been a labour of love. You know, I absolutely, you know, get challenged playing the music and, you know, playing for people who enjoy it, which is fantastic, meeting new people in the country, you know, when we can afford to do it. So, but in a funny way, it's kind of nice, kind of like that too. You know, it is kind of just our thing to a degree. You know what I mean? It's not mainstream.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, it's good in that ways as well. You know,
Well, soon there'll be gold records and limos. But let's...
All right. Cool.
Now, Cog is certainly no stranger to the road. You're about to start a 9-week national kicking off this week, in fact. Are you psyched about this? Because certainly, you know, the road is... well, live is certainly where the band is most comfortable. So, you know, 9 weeks of shows ahead of you.
Yeah, we've been sitting on the bench, you know, putting the Denkarub on, the pads, the boxes in the pouches, we've got the, you know, we're ready. We've got the makeup, we're ready. We've been 3 months sitting waiting, so we're ready to rock now. It's going to be great.
You know, and what can the people expect coming to see the show? Because I know you've got, I guess, the Just Visiting Part 1 and 2 EPs under your belts, and I'm sure you're going to be previewing a hell of a lot of tracks from the debut album.
Yeah, basically it'll be 90% that. And there's two other great bands playing with us as well, Carnival from Western Australia and In the Grey. They're just about to release their album, as well as Carnival have just released their album. And it's, you know, three different bands with three different sounds, and you know, definitely all in it for love. So I think, you know, people who come down are going to give a great show. Hopefully we can provide good light show and good sound and all around
good music.
You know, great night, yeah.
Well, congratulations on the debut album. It's truly an amazing release, and I'm very, very impressed with it, and I'd say the listeners are for Triple J too. Let's, I guess, you want to check out a track from the new album, The New Normal, your choice.
I just want to say, you know, thanks on behalf of the band too, for, you know, Triple J giving us Album of the Week as well. That's one of those things that actually really keeps a band alive, so...
It's all about good music.
Yeah, thanks so much for that.
And you can check out the Triple J website for all the details for the up-and-coming COG Australian Tour, triplej.net.au. What track are we going to conclude with, Lucius? Choice is yours.
I'm going to go the Anarchy OK.
Well, let's lock that one in. Thanks for your time, Lucius.
Thanks, mate.
Let's check out some COG on Triple J.